always know when everybody's done because it goes from like really loud to suddenly quiet. It's like, oh, that's my cue. I better pick up the microphone. Good morning. Welcome. So glad that you're here this morning. Welcome to Chandler Life Church. My name is Jeremy. I'm the pastor here. And we are grateful that you're here on this muggy Sunday morning and very grateful for air conditioning. Awesome. Fantastic. Hey, let me pray and then let's just dive right into it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. And we open up our heart to you. We say, your will be done in us. Help us change. Help us grow. Help us be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We are starting a new series, and hopefully the last one was something you enjoyed. If you didn't hear any of it, then you can go to the website, chandlerlife.org. Just click on the media tab. Hey, we know how summer is here, that people are kind of in and kind of out, so we're not going to throw rocks at you if you missed the Sunday. Obviously, we want you here every week, but we have lots that are out today as well. But hey, you can keep up with what's going on. Just go to the website, click on the media tab, and download the podcast if you want to listen to it while you're at work, while you're in your car. We all know there's nothing on the radio anyways, right? Like I like turned the radio on the other morning and they actually played a song and I was like, this is crazy. There's music playing on the radio. Never would have thought that would ever happen again. ESPN, they just talk about all the same stuff anyways. So put a podcast on, even if it's not us, somebody, it'll be beneficial and it will help you. But new series we're starting is called The Life. The Life. And we're going to have a couple guest speakers on this series, so I'm pretty excited about that. But this is based out of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, everybody say now live, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is about the life. I was using my time really wisely the other day, and I was scrolling through Instagram, like a real great use of my time, I saw this picture that somebody had posted, and I was like, hey, that looks like, I think it was a vacation spot or something, and I thought, wow, that place is really cool. I'd love to check that place out. And on the hashtag, they had put, like, hashtag goals, right? And I'm, like, not so cool anymore, and I hear people say, you know, goals or whatever, and I've always just kind of nodded my head. And so I decided I'm going to click on this hashtag. And so I just kind of checked out all the different things that it was showing. And there was everything from people with like 9-packs because they were so ripped up. It was like, goals, someday I'm going to have that. I've been working on my summer bod for like 2 years now, and it's not doing anything. But, you know, it was like, wow, those people are in such amazing shape. They probably never actually eat food. Like, they're fed intravenously, and they live off some weird pills or something. But they've got like 12 packs, like they got muscles you've never seen before, and it's hashtag goals. And then it was these really nice cars. Wow, that's an incredible car, you know, concept cars or million-dollar cars, supercars, Honda Civics. It was kind of like, depending on what was, you know, really great for you, like someday I'll own a Honda Civic, and that was hashtag goals for them. And then I saw vacation spots, I saw room decor, that somebody had made an incredible room, and they took a picture, and it was like, wow. I saw marriages, right? There was pictures of two couples doing really awesome, amazing marriage things that you can only pose for in picture that's not really real life. But, you know, it was all these different things, and when I was looking at it, I realized basically what this is this is just something that people are wishing and hoping for. Like, someday I hope that that's my marriage. Someday I hope that that's my car. Someday I hope that's what my body looks like, amen. Someday, I gotta stop eating the donuts, but someday I hope to go to that place. Someday I hope for this vacation spot. And then their life, basically, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing as far as people are like, I'm never putting hashtag goals again. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's sometimes what people do is they can become so obsessed with what life is going to be like in the future that they don't really live their life now in the present. And in Galatians chapter 2:20, it says, the life that I now live. Living this Christian life is a now kind of life. It's a life that's in the present. We all have a past, and we all have a future, but when it comes down to it, it's what are you doing with your life in the present? There's this really amazing book by an author called C.S. Lewis. He's kind of like the rock star of Christian authors. If you like theology or any of that really nerdy stuff, then he's a great person to really look into. But in one of his books, it's called The Screwtape Letters. And it's probably the creepiest Christian book I've ever read in my entire life. And honestly, if you read it, it's going to freak you out. Like, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, am I on my way to hell? Like, oh my Lord. I mean, you got to read it all the way through and then it makes sense. But in this book, it's a pretty incredible book. One of the things that he talks about in it is how Christians often buy into the lie of tomorrow. And what that means is we live our life for tomorrow instead of living our life currently in the present. And by dreaming about tomorrow, it makes us feel as if we're doing something in the now. And the reality is, if we aren't doing something in the now, then we're not doing something in the now. And like, oftentimes, Christians feel like someday I'm going to fill in the blank. And that someday never seems to come. Someday I'm going to invite a person to church, and because we talked about it or thought about it or dreamed about it, in our mind, it's almost as if we actually did it. And there is a place for vision. There's a place for dreams. There's a place for forward thinking. All of that is important. But if there's no action in the now, then they're not really dreams. They're not really visions. They're nothing more than hopes and wishes, and not hope in a positive way that encourages us, but just something that someday is hashtag goals. I hope I can achieve. I hope I can attain. I hope that it is mine. But you are called to live this life in the now. I want to give you kind of three positions, if you want to look at it this way, of how we're called to view life according to the scripture. First, we're called to be grateful of our past. We're called to be active in our present. And we're called to be hopeful for our future. We're called to be grateful for our past. That's kind of a weird concept, but the truth is, the best thing that you can think when it comes to your past is having an attitude of gratitude. Cheesy Christian rhymes, but it's true. Having that attitude where you are grateful for whatever has happened inside your past. And I know what you're thinking right now, because I've sat in chairs while people have preached, and I'm thinking, if things are rough, you don't know what I've gone through, Pastor. You don't know what I've lost. You don't know what it felt like. And through the years, I've been a part or heard of very tragic stories and helped people through them. But at the end of the day, after all that emotion or whatever has calmed down, the best thing that we can do is, when we look at the past, have an attitude of gratefulness for it. Now, sometimes what that gratefulness can look like is, man, I can't believe I'm alive. Man, I can't believe that I'm still here. Sometimes that attitude of gratefulness is by faith calling God good when you don't feel like he is. Sometimes it's feeling like, man, God's grace is so amazing even when you don't feel his grace in the moment. But gratefulness lifts us out of that depression, lifts us out of the hold that our past can have on us, and gratefulness puts us in a position to where we're not stuck in the past, but allows us to be active in the present. I was reading this, once again, using my time wisely, reading this Facebook post this morning by a person that I know, and they've been through a lot. And it was great because it tied into my message. So I was like, thanks for the sermon material, bro. I really appreciate it. But he was talking about things that he sees regularly. And we all know social media can be one of the most negative spots in the world, like just filled with angry rants and all sorts of junk. And we all know that. This person said, you know, I've had a really hard life. And I see some of the things that people complain about on Facebook, and it's hard for me not to get angry or judgmental at them. And he begins to share his life. When he was 10 years old, he lost his one of his parents, died very suddenly, and then the other one struggled with alcohol and abuse. And so he grew up under that. He comes out of that. He gets married, and he lost his wife when she was 32 years old, died in a tragedy. And then after that, he dealt with his health issues where he was in and out of hospitals and all of this different stuff. And guys, I'm reading it, and I'm like, dang, this guy's had a hard life. Like, things have not been easy for him. And at the end of it, he said, I can say without a doubt that I'm grateful for the goodness of God. I'm grateful that God has always been there for me. I'm grateful that I'm still here on this planet. I'm still trying to make a difference. He just had this amazing positive attitude. And I think, how many people could go through the exact same things and have the complete opposite attitude. And in fact, we would excuse it and say, you're right, your life is stunk, man. Like, you got a rough hand, and I don't know why that's happened to you. I don't have any answers for you. And they could give up on their relationship with God. They could throw in the towel. They could say, God isn't there. He's not present. He wasn't there for me. He's there for other people. He doesn't hear me. They could have that attitude. But instead, this guy recognized it is better to have the attitude or be in the position to where you are grateful for your past rather than being angry about it, being bitter about it, being frustrated about it. Because when we are rooted in the past, we can't go anywhere or do anything in the present. You have to pay attention to what your attitude is like. There's this scripture verse that I really like to quote to myself when things aren't going the way that I really want them to. And it just says, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is good, think and dwell on these things. And part of it says, if there be anything. I like that. If there be anything. Like, it just gives this attitude. Like, hey, sometimes life is hard, but if you can just find anything to be grateful for, anything to be positive for, hold fast to that. Grab on to that. It becomes your life preserver in the tough times and when things are challenging, because nobody can fix your attitude but you. When you were younger, your mom was the attitude adjuster, right? Maybe if you grew up in a household there, they believed in spanking. It was like, this is the attitude adjuster right here. And you're like, suddenly I'm happy, right? Things are good. I'm obedient. When you're an adult, you don't really do that. Nobody is in charge of your attitude but you. And so you have to sometimes, when things are challenging, when it's not going the way that you want it to, you got to find something that you can be positive about. And sometimes that is, I'm still breathing today, even if maybe things are really, really bad. You don't know how great that feels. Maybe that's not even a place that you want to be. You got to grab on to something, to find something positive. Now, here's the thing. 90% of us in the room right now are not going through something that traumatic that gives us that level of a bad attitude. The truth is, it's the daily things to where we let things frustrate us and irritate us and hold on to stuff. The person at work who said something that they shouldn't, the spouse who said something that they shouldn't, the friendship, the finances, the whatever. We can grab onto those things in the past, and if we're not careful, they will shape the way that we view our presence. So we're called to be grateful for the things that are in the past. And sometimes you got to do it by faith. I'm a big fan of saying things out loud by faith to convince myself, right? And maybe you don't struggle with that. You're just like this titan of faith, all right? You're just like, never waver. I do. And I got to say things out loud. I got to say, listen, Jeremy, I had this weird conversation with myself. When people aren't around, of course, because they'll think I'm crazy, but it's in my car, it's taking a walk, which I'm not doing right now, so it's usually in my car, and I'm saying, okay, you're done. You're finished with this funky attitude. This is the way that you need to view it, and I just start saying what the word says about my situation, and I choose to grab onto that and start thanking God. It's sometimes a walk of faith to thank God when you're looking at your past, but you have to. You got to be willing to, by faith, thank him. Because what happens when we do that, it releases that hold on us, and it causes us to begin to move forward. Here's why this is important. Because you as a Christian ultimately are called to be active in the present. You're called to be active in the present. There's so many scripture verses on this. One great famous one is, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Your steps, he's ordering, you're walking. Everything about the Holy Spirit is trying to move you forward. He's rarely trying to get us to just stand still. Even when we're sitting still and listening to him, it's so that he can speak to us to give us direction to what? Move forward. Because the reality is, you're never actually sitting still. As time is working against you, you're either going forward or going back. Because every second is moving in a direction. It's just the reality of this life. There is no neutral. There's either forward or drifting backwards. And if you're not careful, if you're not active in the present, you can lose years of pressing forward simply because you got tired of pressing forward. I've been there before, where you've worked hard in seasons. You're like, I just need a break. I want to coast. Been there. You've done it in a job before. It's been a busy week. You're like, I think this is feeling like a coasting day. I'm going to get just enough to not get myself in trouble. I'm going to do just enough to not get written up. I'm going to do just enough. I'm kind of at my desk. It's like an episode of Office Space. Like, I've sat here and I probably did 45 minutes of real work today. I sat and spaced out, stared at my screen. We've all had those days. We're all guilty of those things. But listen, that can't be your normal. That can't be the abundance of your life, because you're called as a Christian to be active in the present, active in the present. And so we got to understand that verse says that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. You're a good person. Okay, let's just put that out on the line. Maybe you don't feel good. You're here. You're here on Sunday morning, right? You're a good person. You're doing all right. I don't think anybody in here is a murderer. Even if you were, God still loves you. There's forgiveness there for you. Come up to me afterwards so I'll also have somebody next to me, because, you know, maybe it's not best for you to be alone if that's kind of your thing. But you're just being honest. Maybe you've done some really rough stuff in the past. But here's the thing. When we embrace that I can be grateful for my past and active in my present, then we can understand, hey, I'm a good person. Right? Now, being a good person doesn't get you to heaven, because we're all sinners saved by grace. But what it can do is it can release that guilt and that shame that attaches itself to you, that roots you to saying, someday I'm going to be fill in the blank, because it's the life that I now live. I think the natural byproduct of understanding the grace of God, the goodness of God, the amazing sacrifice that Jesus made, I think the natural byproduct of that for a practicing Christian is to want to be better. So want to be better. You know, feeling of, I got to be better. Who's actively in relationship with Jesus, that doesn't have the feeling of, I got to be better. I got to change. I need to work on myself. Here's the thing. That's you. That's not God. Now, the Holy Spirit will prune you. He'll work on you where you're at, right? That's what the Bible tells us. We're the vine. He's the vine dresser. He takes away that which doesn't bear fruit, and then he prunes that which does bear fruit that it might bear more fruit. So a Christian is in a constant state of pruning, and so that's all good. That's all fine. But don't let not being good enough in your mind stop you from living your life now. So many people have the attitude of, when my life is good, then I'm going to fill in the blank. Then I'm going to reach for people. Then I'm going to connect with them. Then I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Then I'm going to, like sometimes we're like junior hires with a bad breakup, right? Like, it's kind of how we treat our life and we treat God. Like, we go, and you're breaking up with them in junior high, and we say weird stuff. We say, what do we say? It's not you, it's me. No, it's not. It's them. That's why you're breaking up. Stuff like this. I just got to work out it, right? It's not you. And if you've been a Christian a really long time, we've said stuff like this. I just got to work on me. I just got to get my life right. I need to get connected to Jesus. And you're awesome. And you're amazing. And then they're like, oh, but, you know, when your life is good, then, you know, are we going to get back together? And you're like, no, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Just be honest, right? That's kind of sometimes how we treat God. It's like, or people around us. Someday I'm going to live right. Someday I'm going to do this thing. Someday I'm going to connect with people. Someday I'm going to start giving. Someday I'm going to share Jesus. But right now I'm working on me. You know how many people have told me through the years when it comes to finances? They're like, you know, I got to get these things in order. And once that's done, Pastor, I'm going to be the best giver this church has ever seen. And I'm always like, oh, praise God. And I walk away. They ain't going to give a dime. And I know it. And I just smile and I'm like, I love you anyways. It's not about your money. That's not why I care about you. It's not any of that. But I know for a fact that if you're not willing to do something when things are rough, you ain't going to do nothing when things are good. Because you're going to look at it and you're like, now that I have abundance, I got more bills, I got more this, more money, more problems. Right? I got more responsibility. I got a house and God bless me and I got this mortgage. And if you weren't doing it when you had a dollar to your name, you're not going to do it when you got 10,000 coming in. It's just the truth, because it's not about us not being good enough. It's about embracing the goodness of God for our life and determining, even though I'm not good or I'm not great where I think I need to be, God is still great, and God is still really good, and so I'm just going to be active in the present because it's the life that I now live. The life that I now live. God's called you to be active in the present. My wife and I were talking the other day, and I find it really interesting as we've talked to people through the years. They always tell us, you know, when I retire, then I'm going to travel. When I retire, then I'm gonna start this business as a side thing. I've always wanted to, and I just didn't do it. When I retire, I'm going to. And they have all these bucket list items and wishes and hopes and dreams. And I think that's really really awesome, and I think that's really good. But we've just found through the years that when people say that, then they finally do retire, they don't do anything. They don't do anything at all. Like, we know this person who was adamant about it. When this happens, then I'm going to do all of these things, and I've been waiting, and this guy's been holding me back. Like, they didn't really like their spouse very much. This person's been holding me back, and this has been going on with this. And then that spouse passed away, and they said, now's the season. I'm going to travel. They haven't left their hometown and gone anywhere. And it's not an issue of money, right? This isn't about the current circumstance or situation. It's really a matter of, is this a life that you now live, or is this a life that you hope to live? Because when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the life that he wants you to lead, when it comes to witnessing and sharing his love, when it comes to generosity, when it comes to doing, when it comes to going places, it's not about what's in the future. It's about the life that I now live. Stop waiting till you retire to do what you want to do. It's the life that you now live. We made a commitment that we just wanted to travel. We wanted that to be a normal part of our life. And it's challenging because that means you got a budget for it. And I'm not telling anybody here, go in debt until you can travel. That's stupid. Like, you're an intelligent adult. Make good decisions. If you stink with your finances, get help. Don't use me as the excuse to, like, go, I got 4 credit cards. Pastor said I should do it now. I'm going to travel. Oh, I'm going to do it big. I'm doing a Mediterranean. I'm quitting my job. I didn't tell you to do any of that. Don't blame me for your poor decisions. I'm just saying, if you got a goal in mind, you can get yourself there pretty quick. You can get yourself there pretty quick. It doesn't take years to do some of these things. It's a matter of, I'm going to set aside, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to set aside 10% after that that's going to go to my vacation fund. And I'm going to make a commitment. I'm seeing these places. I'm not going to be the one that fills out the Facebook map and it's got one state in color and it's the one I was born in. All right, I want to be we bought a map that we can color out different countries of the world as we tour to them, as we go to them, because I don't want to wait till later. I want it to be the life that I now live. Live life now. You're called to live this life abundantly, generously, amazingly. Like, you don't need to wait until you're out there and you finally, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm retiring, I'm calling it done. I don't ever want to retire. I want to keep doing the things that are in my heart. Whatever that looks like, if that means I'm like only doing something 5 hours a week, whatever. But I don't want to be the person who gets so stagnant that they just stay where they're at. They don't try new things. They don't experience their life. It's the life that you now live. And God never calls you to go into neutral. Ever. No matter how old you are, he doesn't call you into neutral. You know what Moses' punishment was? Neutral. God looked at it and it was like, you messed up so bad, your life's in neutral for the next 40 years. Bummer. And so many of us choose that for ourselves. Choose neutral. Don't rock the boat. Work a job you don't like. Stay where you're doing. Don't experience stuff. Hope and dreams. Hashtag goals. Now listen, it's the life that you now live. Why don't we? Why don't we live the life that you want? Why don't you live the life that you want? Oftentimes, it simply comes down to a very simple concept of just doubt. Doubt robs us of action. I was watching this fail video, once again, using great use of my time, watching this video that popped up. I love those fails videos. They just make me laugh so hard. Man, I laugh so hard, I like cry when you see people on treadmills trying to dance and face plant and launch into walls. And I just, oh man, I'm glad they didn't have this stuff when I was a kid because I would be on a lot of those videos. I did a lot of really dumb stuff. But I was watching this person, it just made me laugh because she was doing this big cliff jump. And she was so bold with how she started, right? Her and her friend, they're like, here we go. And she goes to jump, and she, like, at the last seconds, decommits, right? Decommit. She's like, I'm in, I'm not in, but it's too late. Gravity's got her. And so she turns in this look on her face of horror. And then next thing you know, rather than jumping, she falls, right? And it was horrible. I'm like, ooh, she's lucky to be alive. She hit a tree, bounced off out of the tree, and then rolls into the water. And I feel guilty because I'm laughing hysterically because, yeah, she hits and just rolls into the water. I'm like, ooh, what happened? She didn't fully commit. And then because of the doubt that crept in, it robbed her of the action she needed to succeed. And so many times we're like, I'm going to try this thing. And then when it gets ready to do it, doubt creeps in and robs us of the momentum and the energy needed to do it wholeheartedly. And so then we fail and we go, I knew it wasn't going to work. I knew it was going to happen the way I needed to. No, you got to go all in what you're doing, what God's called you to do. We need to scrutinize our doubt as heavily as we scrutinize our faith. And sometimes we're so good at scrutinizing what God's told us. We embrace this fear and this doubt. What if we flipped it? And rather than scrutinizing my faith, going, is this God? Everybody always asks that. Is this God? Is this the devil trying to wreck my life? Is this just me? And it's about giving like $10 in an offering or taking somebody out or trying a new job or something. We're scrutinizing so heavily on, is this actually God? But when it comes to just living a life of attempting nothing, we don't scrutinize at all. What if we flipped it and decided I'm going to scrutinize my doubt as heavily as I scrutinize my faith? What's the worst thing that happens? You fail? So what? The greatest freedom in the world is knowing that after you failed, you probably didn't really lose that much. Maybe you lost some stuff, but you learn some things and you go again. You start a new business. You do a new thing. But there's an attitude that comes with the life that I now live that keeps you active in the present. And the last thing that we talked about is we're called to be hopeful for our future. We got to have hope for a better day. Hope is the fuel for the life that we want. Hope is the fuel for the life that I now live. If you've lost hope, you've already lost the battle. You've got to get hope back into your life. If you don't have a hope that someday it's going to be great, then you're probably not going to do much in the present. It's a balance of being grateful for the past, active in the present, and hopeful that your future is bright. And that hope doesn't come from the natural. It comes from knowing that God is good. It comes from knowing he's still faithful. It comes from knowing that no matter what my circumstance looks like, he's still faithful. He still loves me. If that's all I got was the cross, I won. You know, sometimes we want so many other things. We want the jobs, we want the house, we want the career, and that's great. We got amazing spiritual promises that talk about giving and it coming back into our life. All that's fantastic. I believe in all of that stuff. We're actually going to teach on that here probably in this series. That stuff's really important. But at the end of the day, if all I got from my Christianity was forgiveness, wow, what an amazing lopsided trade. He took my guilt, my shame, my sin, my sickness, my disease, my poverty, anything negative, the law of sin and death. He took it all on his shoulders at the cross, and in return, he gave me his righteousness. He gave me an inheritance. He gave me the fruit of the Spirit. He gave me abundance. He gave me all of these things. I win. So maybe my life didn't line up the way that I want, but I can be hopeful for my future, not because of what I can do, but because of what he already did. You see, God looks at everything through the be grateful to release our son. We're looking at our past, and it's like in the present. And that's why we got to be grateful to release ourselves. We have to live in the present because we're not everywhere at once. And we got to be hopeful for the future because we need the fuel to move ourselves forward, believing for a better day. And at the end of the day, you got to learn to stir that up inside of yourself. You can't wait for Sunday morning to be happy. You come to church, you're like, oh, pastor's got a good message today because my week sucked. That's not good. Don't live your life that way. You can't wait and say, man, I know there's those times when we need that. The corporate worship, and you hear the word, and you're like, man, how did he know what I was going through? That was exactly what I needed. And that's what church is all about. But you also can stir yourself up. Paul told Timothy, because he's planting church and he's doing a really hard thing, he says, hey, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's been placed on the inside of you. Stir it up. Get excited for yourself. You got to learn how to be your own greatest hype guy. You got to cheer yourself on sometimes. Sometimes nobody else is cheering you on. Sometimes nobody else believes. Hey, even maybe your spouse is looking at you nodding, going, yeah, yeah, go for it. And in their mind, they're like, oh boy, that's not going to work. But they're not going to say anything. And you've been married long enough, you know. You know. You're like, I know you don't even mean that. You got to sometimes even cheer yourself on. Hey, even Jesus had moments where it was just him. He's in the garden, his best friends, he's like, hey man, I'm going to die and you can't even be awake and pray for me for an hour? They're going to kill me like tonight. I'm going to get beaten within an inch of my life. I told you this was going to happen. The Last Supper thing, we just came from there. I told you like the guy that's going to betray me. You watched Judas leave and you're such a bonehead. You're not even paying attention to what's going on. Could you please pray with me? Please, I'm desperate. Please pray with me. They probably made it 10 minutes. The Bible said they fell asleep on a tree. Like just, Jesus comes out and he's like, man, my closest friends, yesterday you begged me, what could I do to be at your right hand? What could I do? Yesterday you begged me to be a part. Yesterday you asked for greater things and I told you. Just the other week I said these things to you. You watched me walk on water. I told you what's coming my way. And you can't even tarry for 1 hour? Even Jesus had moments where he was by himself and he felt the pain. The Bible says he beheld a cup of wrath, is what they call it, where he could see all that was coming his way. And know what he did? He was mad and he's like, God, is there any other way? Like, this sounds like a bad idea. He said it a lot more eloquently, but that's how I translate it. He's like, hey, God, this is a bad idea. This is not going to be fun for me. Is there another way? And he didn't get an answer. So he said, okay, nevertheless, your will be done. What is he doing? He's activating his will. He made a decision in that moment to line up his will with God's will. And that set in motion the greatest miracle to ever take place in the history of this earth. You got to make a decision to line your will up with God's will and say, okay, I'm believing for hope and I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to get myself excited. I'm going to stir myself up. I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to do what I need to do and I'm going to make this thing happen. You got to learn to cheer yourself on. Rather than being angry and murmuring and complaining when you're by yourself, it's okay, start that way, but you got to end with praise. You got to end in a good place. You can start bad, right? David did it. My enemies are camped around about me. They hate me. They're destroying me. God, you forsake me. And then later on, he's like, thank you, God, for your goodness. I always overcome. I always win. You may not start where you need to be, but you got to stir your spirit up. You got to let that faith begin to creep back into your life. You got to quote his word. And the next thing you know, you preach yourself happy. I've done it so many times. You just smile and like, what are you happy about? You're like, I don't know. I just feel good. Turn the worship emo stuff off and put something exciting in and just start thanking God. We're so weird. We're down. And what do? We put on music that depresses us. I want to grab some of these worship people. I'm like, could you talk about how great God is? Stop whining in your music. You're not helping me. You're all like, God, I need some help here. Put on something upbeat. Put on something exciting and start saying how great God is. Cheer yourself on. And the next thing you know, hope begins to rise. And when we have hope for a better day, we can be active in the now. And when we're active in the now, we can't help but look back and say, I'm so grateful for what I've been through. Those things that didn't kill me, they made me stronger. Those scars that I carried, I'm helping other people. And someday my life will be a testimony of God's goodness and God's grace. And they'll see what I went through. And they'll think, if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. And I'm not going to drag people down. I'm going to drag them forward because my testimony is going to set others free. What's your attitude about your life? What's your attitude about what you're overcoming? Sometimes we come up against an obstacle and rather than going, all right, here we go, we give up. We say, it must not be God's will because it's hard. Listen, I don't know if you read your Bible and I believe in this happy, amazing life, but at the end of the day, martyrdom was acceptable to God for his apostles. That was good. He's like, yep, you're going to die. He didn't bail them out. That ain't right. That ain't right. Stephen's there. He's about to get stoned. He's like, God, help me. He's like, okay, I'm just going to take you to heaven. So the Bible says he did. He didn't save him. He didn't put an imaginary force field around him, strike everybody dead around him. That's what I always believe in for. I'm like, yeah, God, those bears came out of the woods when they talked bad about Elijah. Get them, Lord. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's not right. We just have to understand that we are called to overcome and to win in this life, and that doesn't happen without struggle and adversity. But you're not in it alone. You can be surrounded by great people inside of our church, community of friends and relationships. It's why you need all those amazing people in your life, provoking one another to good works. If you live in isolation, you've already lost the battle. Get yourself a part of a community of believers and people who can encourage you, who can push you forward, who can say, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Why does the Bible say that? Because it's easy to grow weary in a good thing. We are called to be grateful for our past, active in our present, and hopeful for our future. Father, I pray for every person that's here this morning, and God, I ask that you would speak to us where we are. Help us have the right attitude. For those that have been maybe hanging on to old hurts and old past things and frustrations, we ask that you just help us to release those things, to bring healing and forgiveness into our heart, not to walk around with even justified offense where we have a right to be angry and frustrated, but all that's doing is rooting us in the past. Lord, I pray for those that you've been speaking to about in the present, doing something, new things, starting businesses, doing whatever it is, giving more than they've ever done before, reaching people for Jesus, inviting others to church. I pray that you would give them the courage to do that. And Lord, for those that have had hope wane, that maybe just because of life's challenges, and they're even active right now, but have just lost hope, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to them to help them find something that they can help stir up the gift of God that's inside them. Give them, Lord, the words to say, and your word says when we open our mouth, you'll fill it. Pray, Lord, that they would leave here today encouraged, exhorted, that they would recognize how great and how good you truly are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Guys, hey, let's give it up to our pastor. Wow, what a great message. Come on, guys, you can do better than that.
Let your power fall and wreck this place, wreck this place. Let your freedom reign and break down these walls. Come wreck this place, wreck this place. Let your fire burn, let your power fall and wreck this place, wreck this place. Let your freedom reign and break down these walls. Come wreck this place.